Joy Behar has decided that she understands what it is to be black in America better than Senator Tim Scott, a black man. She has decided that since she sits next to Sonny Houston and Whoopi Goldberg, that she can now speak on the black experience. She has determined that if a black person isn't spitting the black liberal talking points the way that she believes they should be said, that person being black is now irrelevant. Keep in mind, Senator Tim Scott's mother is black, his father is black, and he grew up in what many deem black America. This proves that the left doesn't care about black people per se. They care about you falling in line. If you don't talk and act like what is required on the liberal left, then according to them, and in the words of Joe Biden, you ain't black. It's so good to be back, y'all. Welcome to the Pierre Wilson Show. All new content, brand new setup, same blunt truth. Let's get into it. So hopefully, you know, many of you guys saw, you know, the joint address to Congress last week. They're not calling it a State of the Union, which I'm glad they're not. I don't know what that was. It certainly wasn't a State of the Union. And if it was a State of the Union, yikes. But they're calling it a joint address, right? Last Wednesday, President Joe Biden stood in front of an empty chamber and, you know, spatted out what I call a socialist manifesto, okay? It was some very scary stuff. And, you know, we're going to talk about Tim Scott's rebuttal, but what I want to share really quickly is when I watched that, it brought back a lot of things for me. And one of the things it brought back was the fact that Trump was so different. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about President Trump because I think we have a lot of things that we need to get into. And I think conservatives, you know, obviously do enough talking about President Trump already. But I want to say this. He spoke in a way, okay, that the average American can understand. Whether you loved him, whether you hated him, Trump did not do all that political mumbo jumbo, fancy speech this, you know, words that make no sense to the average American that doesn't understand politics. Like, he spoke in layman's terms, right? What we've returned to is what Trump's predecessors did, which is that whole political, fancy, you know, make you feel good, fuzzy speech. But you really just missed exactly what was said. Okay. Like, for example, Biden, you know, he's talking about uplifting everybody and coming together and, you know, I want to be there for your family and yada, yada, yada. But what you missed in all his policy proposals of free this, take care of you here, take care of you there, what you missed was how we are going to get there. And that is what they want you to miss. They don't want you worried about stuff like that, okay? They just want you to feel good and leave everything to them. We got you. We're government. We're the government. We got you. We're going to take care of you. What you probably missed was the fact that his recent policy proposals, okay, hear me clearly, cost about $4.1 trillion. $4.1 trillion. Insane, okay? And the fact that you guys missed that is not a shock. Because they want you to miss that. They want you to hear free, take care of you here, do this for you, do that for you. Let me put that in perspective for you guys. $4.1 trillion is what it cost to win World War II. And this is just his recent policy proposals, all right? This is not all of them. This is his recent ones. This is going to bankrupt our country at some point. And no one knows that or no one really cares because they are leaving everything to government. They're like, we're out of the way. Joe Biden makes me feel good. He's not on Twitter being mean. I feel so much better about government now because he is saying nice things. For people who actually follow politics, and when I say follow, I don't mean watch MSNBC and CNN and Fox News. I mean, actually do your own research, actually look at what's in these bills. You are probably scratching your head right now. I've had liberals who I actually respect to comment on political things, write me and say, this is a lot of money. All right. I have my casual people, though, that don't really pay attention to the cost or what this is actually going to do to our country, to our kids' future, to our future. They're just celebrating. They're just saying, oh, this is great. This is government, guys. This is that government that we warned you about. The one that does not want you to pay attention. The one that wants you to just focus on your life. They want you to forget that they work for you. They work for you. Joe Biden said in his speech that we are the government. All of us, the people, we are the government. No, we're not. No, we're not. The Constitution, it literally speaks against that. We, the people, are the people. We hold government accountable. We are not the government. We are supposed to be holding you accountable. That was almost as bad as his Easter speech. For people who watched his Easter speech, you probably are like, what? I thought it was great, especially my liberal friends out there. It was motivating, uplifting. It was really nice. That great old man, he's so great. He doesn't tweet mean things. All right, let's back up. You probably missed the fact in all that fluff that he didn't mention God one time. One time. Not once. And, oh, I'm not done. And he said, put your faith and trust in government. Let me repeat that again. Put your faith and trust in government. Those words frighten me. Because our faith and our trust should be put in our Lord and Savior. We do not put our faith and our trust in government. Okay? That's not what the Bible talks to. God actually warns us about that. We do not put our faith and our trust in the government. Our faith and our trust is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the fact that you topped that with that he didn't mention God at all in an Easter speech. Again, for my liberals who are listening, I'm sure you probably missed that because he was giving you all that fluff. I want us to be mindful of the fact that everything isn't what it seems. And if there's anybody who's out there, we always like to think the best actors and actresses reside in Hollywood. No, folks. The best actors and actresses reside in politics. And someone like Joe Biden, who has a long career of speeches and all sorts of, you know, feel-good moments, he has this down. Even with the state that I feel like he's in sometimes where he doesn't even know where he's at, he has this down. And I think that people are being bamboozled right now. But people voted for this. They wanted to be blind. They wanted to be out of the way. They didn't want to worry about anything. Maybe they really do want to put their faith and their trust in the government. I sure don't. I don't trust the government. That's why I advocate for limited government. Government tries to fix so many problems and then they create 10 more. Because it was never meant to be a huge central government. And that is causing more problems for all of us. But I want to kind of circle back because Tim Scott, you know, he talked to a lot of these points. He talked to a lot of these points in his rebuttal. But there was a particular thing that he said, and I'll read this quote directly. And of course, this got the most attention because everything is about race in America right now. And they want to make everything into a race issue. Everything that goes wrong is, you know, race is somehow involved. And, you know, race is being shoved down our throats. Tim Scott said, direct quote, "Hear me clearly, America is not a racist country." Again, for my liberals who are listening, because I know I have a audience of different people. And I, you know, again, I appreciate my liberals who are listening. I appreciate my conservatives who are listening, independents and everybody. I try to make it fair for the most part. But I'm going to tell you right now, where we are in the state of our country and the lies that are coming from the left, I need to call them out. Okay. I need to call them out. And what Tim Scott said, for my liberal friends listening, you guys are probably scratching your head like, this man is crazy. How can he say that? No way. Okay, let me walk through some things, right? We want to talk about the country being racist. And one of the things that comes up a lot is shootings and cop-related shootings and things like that. So, you know, I want to bring up some stats and some facts really quickly. And I'm not going to give you the regular ones. I'm going to give you some hardcore stuff that you may not have heard in a way that I'm going to give it to you. Recently, not long ago, a study was done by the McIver Institute. Blacks are obviously, 13% of the population? Well, they make up 53% of murder, okay? We're 13% of the population, and we make up 53% of murder. And you might be pausing right there, like, "What are you doing? Why are you going?" Let me explain before you decide to tune out or be like, "I'm not. I don't want to hear this." Put your guard down. All right, just open up your ears for a second. You can yell later, but you need to hear this. All right. This is important because we have to first understand why cops are in our communities. If you really want to fix this, if you're really serious about fixing this and reducing the amount of black people being shot by cops, then you need to understand these things. You need to understand what the root problem is. So we make up 13% of the population. 53% of the murders are in 53% of the murders and manslaughter arrests are black people. 13% of the population. Okay. We also make up 54% of robbery arrests. That's a lot for 13% of the population. I think everyone agrees murder, manslaughter, robbery, the cops have to show up, right? Do you not want them to come? Do you want them to stay where they are? Oh, someone just got murdered. Okay. Is it a black person that did it? Yes. Okay. We're not going to come. Do you want that to be how it is? No. So hopefully everyone realizes that the cops have to come. So that is already a lot of police interactions in the black community. Already. Way more than everybody else. Way more. The cops can't shoot you if they're not there. So we have to pause for a second. And we gotta do our part in black America to reduce the amount of reasons the cops have to come. I'm not done. The Washington Post, which we all know is liberal heaven, right? They did a database. They've been doing this database since 2015. They've been keeping track of every known deadly police shooting, again, since 2015. 46% were white, 24% were black, and just 6% were unarmed. And out of that 6%, just 2% were black and unarmed. 2% since 2015 of these daily police shootings. 2%. Okay. Again, I say this every time I bring this up. I am not making any death small. Every death is horrible. I don't want to hear about people dying. That's never, that shouldn't be anybody's thought process. We don't want to support people dying. That's not cool. Okay. But when you talk about the fact that 2% since 2015 were black and unarmed, which means that the rest of them were armed in some way, shape, or form, I have a problem with the BLM riots right now because somebody's lying. 2%. Mind you, we commit 53% of murder and manslaughter. We account for 53% of murder and manslaughter arrests and 54% of all robbery arrests. All right. And this is not like these are all conservative. So the Washington Post is as liberal as you can all get out. All right. And that's the police shootings. Let's move to education. I've noticed something that maybe a lot of black people haven't paid attention to. But why is it if systematic racism is real and black people don't have the opportunities that other people have, why is it that African immigrants, and they come over here, they're African, they're coming from Africa, a lot of their English is not as good as ours. And when I say ours, I mean other black Americans. They come over here and they kill it. They kill it. They don't have the benefits of being here their entire life, learning this country and all. They come over here and they kill it. What is kill it, by the way? Okay, Michigan State University. It was a 2010 study that was done, and I love this study because it covered a wide range. It was from 1990 to 2010, and I actually checked some of the recent stats, and the numbers are pretty much the same. But this is a really good study. White men made, on average, at this time, $49,000 a year. African immigrants, okay, African immigrant men make $45,000. Black American men, this is not a misprint or anything. This is real. Black American men made $24,000 at the time of the study. And I just checked the recent stats. It's about the same. Be honest. Did you know that? You probably didn't. You probably didn't. Let me repeat that. White men, $49,000 average salary during that time period. African men that came here, immigrants, 45, roughly 4,000 less. That's significant, okay? And when I say significant, I mean in a good way. That's not a big gap. Considering the fact that these white American men have been here the entire time, they were supposed to have the built-in advantage of a systematic racist country, and they were supposed to be way ahead. African immigrants come over and they are within 4,000. Wow. And black men are at 24,000, black American men. You got to miss me with all of that. This country isn't set up for everybody to succeed. You got to miss me with all of that. It's work ethic. And I don't care who wants to hear it or not. It is work ethic. And I am a walking, breathing testimony of that. All right. I was that black American man who was playing the victim card and saying this country wasn't set up for me, and listening to family and friends around me mope and pout and talk about the injustices of everybody. The Republicans are racist. The Democrats are the only one for us. And we are this and we are that. Black power. No. The moment I changed my life changed. And notice I said, when I changed my life changed. The country didn't change. I changed. And when I changed, my quality of life went up. My relationships with the people around me went up, got better. Everything about my life improved. And all of a sudden, America didn't feel like it was against me. America felt like the land of opportunity that I had heard so much about from other people who have experienced success. So if the country is racist, how are African immigrant men coming over here making $45,000 on average, and black American men are at $24,000. Oh, and let's talk about something else. I thought, so Democrats, right? We always talk about how Democrats are the way, and, you know, black people are like, oh, we got to support Democrats. They're the ones who are here for us. They're the ones who support us. Okay, keep in mind that every major black city in America is run by Democrats, right? I'm talking about the city council. I'm talking about your school board. I'm talking about it's a good chance your mayor is a Democrat. It's a good chance that the police chief is a Democrat, which is so crazy because they want to overthrow these police departments that they say are racist, and these people have been put in place by Democrats. Okay. Well, you look back, let's look at the last, before Biden, because Biden's numbers are still shaking out, so we'll see, but let's look back at the last two presidents. The median income for black families per blackdemographics.com. So not some random source, another quality source, blackdemographics.com. I get my sources, y'all. I don't play, right? I don't play by my sources. Obama, during the Obama administration, our first black president, right? Black superhero. We love him because he can shoot a basketball. He hangs out with LeBron James and he likes Beyonce. We love Obama, right? He's the man. The median income for black families was $36,000. Under Trump, the most racist man to ever be in office and horrible president, hates black people, wants to put us back in chains and send us to Africa, the median income was $41,000 for black families. $41,000. $36,000 under our first black president. $41,000 under the so-called most racist president. Okay. When Trump was out there telling you guys that he was making America great again for everybody, he wasn't lying. But you guys couldn't get over his tweets, you know, for my liberals who are listening and then voted against him. I guess you couldn't get over those tweets and everything. I guess having a person who has his 18-year-old interns writing his tweets for him. I mean, let's be real. Joe Biden's not on Twitter. There's a good chance that Joe Biden doesn't even know how to log in. All right. 18-year-old interns are now tweeting you perfectly crafted, review 10 time political messages. All right, we're back to the political mumbo jumbo, making sure that you feel good and warm and fuzzy, but you ignored the facts. And that's the difference between me and a lot of people that I talk to who don't understand why I'm conservative. I am not interested in feelings, about feeling good. I mean, I care about people's feelings, obviously. I'm not saying that I don't. I think there's room to care about feelings. I don't think conservatives have to get to a point where they're, you know, we're just like, all we care about is the facts and we don't care about anything else. I'm not a fan of the heart. I feel like God gave us a heart. He gave us everything that makes up the human body and everything that we feel, I feel like, is a reflection of Christ if we're living by his standards, right? Let me backtrack, actually. Not everything we feel, because some of y'all are some heathens. Some of y'all are heathens. Heathens! Don't put that on God. Don't put that on God. But ultimately, feelings and all the things that make us who we are come from our Lord and Savior. And I think that's important for us to acknowledge that. So I do think there's room for compassionate conservatism sometimes, right? However, facts matter. They do. And they do tell a bit more of a story than someone going up there and giving you their opinion. And the reality is, you look at the numbers, you do your own research, you start to form your own opinion, you look at the police shootings, the actual numbers, because they love to sprout out, well, black people are getting shot at a disproportionate rate compared to the percentage of the population they are, failing to tell you that black people commit 53% of murder and manslaughter, account for 53% of murder and manslaughter arrests and 54% of robbery arrests. Failing to talk to you about that. That's an important detail to help us understand why the police are there. You cannot leave stuff like that out, because then you're just pushing a narrative. They fail to tell you that African immigrant men come over here and they make $45,000 in a country that's supposed to be racist against black people. They fail to tell you that black people were doing much better under President Trump than they were doing under President Obama. So no, Tim Scott is not wrong. He is right. America is not a racist country. America is a country where black people have the ability to do whatever they want to do if they actually put their mind to it. I say that about some, because some black people are doing that. But there's a lot of other black people who need to start holding themselves accountable and quit it with this whole we're in a racist country and the deck is stacked. That's a lie. So, you know, for those of you guys who are like, all right, you have a point. But if that's the case, then why is it everywhere? Why do we hear about the fact that America's racist? There's no way all these people can be wrong. It is a way. And I'm going to explain it to you. But we're going to take a quick break and we'll get into it.
I am the token conservative in media, in mainstream media. I'm the only conservative woman in all of media. And the reason why is there is a token is because the mainstream media only feels like there needs to be one on a show like this. That one person out of five represented means that there's enough conservative media coverage. What I have found interesting working in what I consider liberal media is not the stories that we talk about, but the stories that we don't talk about. There's been a lot of stories, like, for example, we've never once talked about Hunter Biden as a hot topic on this show, whereas Ivanka Trump or Donald Trump Jr. cough in the wrong direction, and it probably would have taken up the first two blocks. So I think it's really interesting. I don't agree with the stories that Fox said. They should obviously do a correction. I think John Roberts is one of the best reporters out there, hands down, across the board. I disagree, like, vociferously with that, with what you said, Sonny. And I also, you know, it's interesting because my husband and I, you know, exist in our whole world is conservative media. He founded and runs one of the most influential and highly trafficked conservative websites on the internet. And the reason why these outlets like this need to exist is because everything else is liberal everywhere else. There's a reason why Fox is killing it in the ratings and laps everyone else is because it seems like it's rigged. It's rigged every place else. That, you know, that people on CNN, you think Jim Acosta isn't an activist? I don't have any trust in people on CNN anymore. So I take such umbrage at this entire concept that liberal media, which runs all of media, all of tech, all of entertainment, all of music, all of culture, all of politics, all three branches of government, I'm supposed to feel bad because there's two things from Fox News that have been inaccurate. I mean, let's go down the list every day of the things that are inaccurate on CNN and MSNBC, and then we can talk about fairness in the media.
Can we get a mic drop? Can we just get a mic drop? We needed that mic drop because Meghan McCain, she spit some straight facts. And the thing that I liked about Meghan McCain and what she did is she did it on a liberal show, right? The View was very liberal. And she did it in a way that everyone had to listen. You know, she wasn't, you know, she wasn't rude. She wasn't condescending. She wasn't talking crazy or all over the place. She was very clear with what she was saying, and what she said resonated, I think, with so many conservatives across the country. I know some people have mixed feelings about Meghan McCain. Some people are not a fan of her. I'm not the biggest fan of her myself, but what I will tell you is what she said is what so many conservatives feel. This is why it's so easy to be able to spread narratives like America is a racist country and make everybody think that black people are being hunted. This is why it's so easy to make you believe that all the changes and these socialist ideas are God's plan or whatever they want to say. This is why it's easy to manipulate the masses into believing that, not even recognizing the fact that people are literally fleeing socialist countries to come here to a capitalist country because they have seen socialism up front and center, and they don't want it. They don't want it. But the media is somehow convincing people that socialism is the way. It's insane. This is the media who, no matter what Trump did, separating, they're like, oh, he separated children from their families at the border. But they're ignoring the fact that we have a tremendous amount of children without their parents at the border currently because of the way the Biden administration is handling the border. It's overflowing at the border right now. And what does Vice President Kamala Harris do, who's supposed to be down there? She's supposedly in charge of the border. She hasn't made one visit. Folks, for people who don't really follow politics, that's a calculated move. She has not gone down there yet, because if she goes down there, it is going to bring more attention to it. And they don't want attention on the border. But it's a disaster right now. It's in one of the worst shapes it's ever been in. And they have not covered it. Just like Hunter Biden, what Meghan McCain said, no one has covered what Hunter Biden has done. And if you actually look and research and see the things that he has done, I've seen videos. I've seen the proof. For those who know me, I'm not lying about this. I have no reason. If I didn't see the video, I would just tell you I've seen some of the videos. I've seen some of these things. It is insane. And I cannot imagine if Trump Jr. or Ivanka Trump or some of these people who are on the right were the ones in these videos and different things. I can't imagine the media onslaught. But what did the media do? They covered for Hunter Biden. Joe Biden lied in front of us and said Hunter hasn't done anything wrong. He hasn't done anything wrong. He's just recovering and he's getting better. He had some problems in the past. He gave us that political mumbo jumbo. Okay, Joe. All right. We allowed this. Because we don't hold our media accountable, we allowed this. We allowed it to a point where now the media can influence a massive amount of people to believe what they want you to believe. And people don't have any concern with it, not realizing that history shows us that when the media does this, this is how countries collapse. Or more importantly, this is how countries get taken over by dictatorships and whatnot. I mean, you look at it and people are like, oh, Trump's a dictator. No, Trump was not a dictator. Trump was the furthest thing from a dictator. He actually said the opposite of what Biden said. He said, do not put your faith and trust in government. Look it up. Look it up. He did not believe that faith and trust should be put into politicians at all. So, you know, it's very interesting to see the direction the country is going right now. And more importantly, the fact that we are allowing the country to go into this direction. That's a big problem for me. That's a big concern for me, because I love this country. I love America. And I know that may be a foreign thing to say now. It's almost like if I see an American flag out anywhere, I pretty much know that person's a conservative. Isn't that crazy? If I see somebody's house with an American flag, I know that person's probably a conservative. And it's insane that they have taught half of this country to hate this country. We have millionaires and billionaires telling us about oppression. Black millionaires and billionaires telling us about oppression. Just process that. You know, we have to wake up. We have to take the mask off. And I'm not talking about the COVID mask. I'm talking about the one that is blinding us right now. And more importantly, we have to take the mask off of America, because America is a country that still can be that shining city on the hill, the beacon of hope for the rest of the world, and not the clown show that we are right now. But we have to take this socialism mask off of this country and get back to what makes America great. And nothing about that is racist. This country is a country of immigrants. Okay? But we are a country of laws. So legal immigration matters. And conservatives, I'm going to say something to you guys that you may not like. I don't really care. You guys know me. I love y'all, but y'all know me. I'm not one to be swayed by the public opinion or where the mass, you know, amount of conservatives are going. Sometimes I'm with the crowd, sometimes I'm not. But if I'm with the crowd, you better believe I'm with them, because I feel that way too. I'm not a big fan of President Bush. I mean, the man put us in some horrible situations. But I want y'all to take a second to back up about what he said, because there were some recent comments about him and immigration and, you know, giving legal status to these immigrants, to the illegal immigrants who are here. And people were like, oh, Bush wants to give, you know, he wants to give 11 million undocumented immigrants free citizenship. He's a liberal. Okay. You don't have to agree with what he said, but please understand what he said. We can't tell liberals to do research and then we don't, right? He's not just saying make them legal, right? I sat down and I read exactly what he was saying, and I saw how he wanted it to be laid out. He's not just saying grant legal status. What he is saying is that there are 11 million illegal immigrants in this country right now. Many of them, in some ways, it's kind of a guess, because they really don't know. Many of them, they can't find. What he is saying is that if we create a process, a lot of them will out themselves and, more importantly, start contributing to the economy in the way that they need to contribute to benefit us. We know legal immigrants don't pay taxes, right? So we create a program. If we create a program where they have to pay their back due taxes. That's in Bush's proposal. They have to, in order to stay, they have to pay back due taxes, and they have to learn English, amongst other things. If they don't do those things, or they fall on one of those things, and they get sent back. A lot of illegal immigrants, if they know that there is a pathway to citizenship, then they will out themselves, and then at least we're getting those tax dollars. Right now, what Democrats are trying to do is just give them legal status. There's no requirements. There's really nothing that they have to do. They just want to make them all legal. Because for them, it's just votes. They don't care about them fitting in. They don't care about them learning our native language. They don't care about them paying back due taxes. They don't care about any of that. They just want the votes. What Bush is proposing is a lot different than what Democrats are saying. If they're here, they're already taking advantage of things that we are paying for. And they're just here. We don't know where a lot of them are. They're not paying taxes. This will at least get some of them, if not most of them, if not all of them, to out themselves and begin a process towards citizenship that relies on quite a few things being done, including paying back due taxes, which, again, I think is worth discussion. I'm not for giving 11 million immigrants legal status. I don't, even with Bush's plan, I don't know that all of them should get legal status. I think it should be case by case, and it should be a very tough. I mean, if you broke the law, okay? So there needs to be some consequences. I don't think we just give all of them that option. It needs to be some consequences, and it needs to be very selective. But at the same time, I would rather them out themselves and start paying money towards the country that I'm paying taxes in, than for them to just be here taking advantage of things that we're paying for, hardworking Americans are paying for, and they just get to enjoy it for free. I'm not a fan of that. So So we have to think about that. And to me, at least, that's a conversation starter. Whether you agree with what he said or not, I think it's a good conversation starter. Doesn't change the fact that Bush is a war hawk and it's a lot of things about him I don't like. But I do think we have to make sure that before we just jump on somebody, we know exactly what they propose, because it's not just give free legal status to 11. That's not what he said. That's not what he said. So, but I want to, before we wrap up, guys, because we're going to finish up, I want to actually share some personal news. I try to share some things with you guys. I mean, I know it's been a while, so a lot has happened in my life, but I want to share some personal news with you guys about my soon-to-be third kid. So a lot of you guys, if you follow me on social media, at the Pierre Wilson, again, at the Pierre Wilson, T-H-E, Pierre Wilson on Twitter and Instagram, you know that we are expecting, or my wife is pregnant. I have so much respect for women. She's carrying a baby. I'm just trying to support her along the way, right? Shout out to the real woman. We are expecting kid number 3, and I am going to reveal the gender and the name for the first time. You ready? Let's get some drum roll. Can we get some drum roll? We are having a boy. We decided on Asher. So Asher Wilson, and Asher is spelled A-S-H-E-R. Super excited. Biblical name. Not a lot of people, I feel like, have it, which was important to us. But at the same time, we love it. So our three amigos, it's going to be the three new amigos now, even though two of them are the vet amigos. We have three now. So it's just going to be weird just saying three, right? It's weird. But so we got Michaela, we got Amari, and then we got Asher. Super excited. And we are having another boy. So the tiebreaker goes to the boys. And I'm super excited. I told my wife we're going to need to get a huge SUV or something. We're going to have to make some changes. We got a mini little basketball team now, three kids. I feel like when you get three kids, you're now more kids than adults. You now have more kids than adults. I think, but we're done after this. Our three little amigos. So, I appreciate you guys for sticking with me. I know it's been a while as well since I did my last episode. So thank you guys for staying around. I wanted to take this more seriously. I wanted to dedicate more time. I wanted to put together a really good show. So hopefully you guys love this episode. We'll be back again next week. Every Thursday, it'll be a new episode. I'll do some special episodes as well. We'll have some special guests that pop in as well. But in the meantime, you guys take care. And I'll see you guys, or maybe I'll see you guys, because we're going to be doing some live episodes too. Ha 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 ha. Gonna be fun. But I will talk to you guys next week. Take care, y'all.